This is the Uplink Marketing Podcast. My name is Evan Chasteen. I am the president of Uplink Marketing, and I'm very excited about today's episode because it is with my friend Cody Goschert. With over two decades of project management experience spanning international project logistics to product development, Cody has learned a thing or two about how to get projects done and has found his project management home in the creative brand and marketing industry. If you're trying to find Cody, your best bet is a local PBR dispensary or his front porch in Atlanta, where he currently resides with his wife, Mary London. Let's dive right in. Welcome to the Uplink Marketing Podcast, Cody.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I'm excited about this podcast because I enjoy speaking with you as a friend, and I've learned a lot from you navigating this journey at a marketing agency. And so, fun fact, we used to be roommates. We lived together with a few other guys and have some great stories that probably won't make it on the podcast today. But gosh, that was 6 years, no longer than that, 7 or 8 years ago now.
Yeah.
That we've kind of known each other and been following along as we journey and leave companies and go to new companies. And we've both kind of landed in this marketing agency world, which is really cool. So start out by telling us a little bit about who you are, what you do, what your role with project management, maybe specifically what that journey has looked like for you. So as we dive into some things regarding project management, people have reason to trust you.
Yeah, totally makes sense. So my background in project management really started in college, and it started by taking 30 college students to Kenya every single summer. So there's, as you can imagine, a lot of details and a lot of logistics in taking that many college students to a foreign country and then taking care of them. So I like to say that's kind of where I got my feet wet with project management.
And you enjoyed that experience enough to want to keep doing it? Was it a stressful experience, or were you like, oh yeah, found my sweet spot?
No, it's always stressful. Yeah, project management's stressful. But it's a good kind of stress. I moved into more project management product development at a nonprofit that makes products and curriculum and other resources for churches. I really enjoyed that too. And then I wanted to get my hands at agency project management. So really doubling down in the whole creative vertical of project management. And I was at one agency for a couple of years, just doing traditional project management. And then have recently transitioned to a different agency where I'm now the director of product operations. And we can kind of discuss what the differences between those are, but it is project management. It's just higher level project management.
Cool. Yes. I would love to delineate between those two. Jump back to the nonprofit. What types of people were you working with there? I know at the second agency that you mentioned there, you worked with a lot of creatives, which I'm curious to hear your thoughts about project managing creatives. At the nonprofit, were you just with creatives? Were you with different types of people? How many moving pieces were there with those products?
Lots of moving pieces. So it always started with the creatives. They're always the ones that are kind of incubating the ideas. And then the project manager has to take all those ideas and turn them into reality. And so then you're working with a lot of people that are just on execution mode. So you're with printers, you're with, you know, people who are actually making the products you're using, you're with the warehouses that are shipping the products. So videographers, editors, directors, things like that. You're with the people that are like boots on the ground, but you're also with the people that are the visionaries, and you get to, you know, straddle those two worlds.
Do you like straddling those two worlds?
Yeah. I mean, I think most project managers, if they find themselves in a creative agency, they'll either find that they love it or hate it. But in this creative world specifically, I get passionate about, you know, ideas and vision that people have for these things that aren't yet to be, but could be. And my mind immediately goes to just execution mode and how can we turn this into reality and start, you know, prioritizing and developing plans. And so I'm big on like actually doing the work. So I enjoy kind of both.
Love it. And then whenever, so you get these grand visions from a creative, are you typically the no man, or do you take that to other people if whatever they're visioning isn't possible? Who's the person to say that? How far down do you go until you realize that it's not possible? And then what does that pivot look like?
It depends on who you're working with.
Okay.
Is the answer. most times creatives don't like to be told no. So they have to be the one that, you know, finds out that it's a no. But your role as the project manager is to explore every avenue to make it happen and turn it into reality.
Yeah. So I've heard working with creatives or specifically project managing creative projects, whenever creative people are involved, maybe it'd be helpful to define what a creative person is as the first part of this question. Because I myself am curious to have a specific definition. It's like, you know, one when you see them.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what makes a creative person a creative person, is there isn't quite a definition. But if we could attempt a definition at a creative person, I think that would be helpful. And then can you speak a bit to what it's like to project manage with or for those types of people?
Yeah. Gosh, a definition for a creative. I think a lot of people are very creative, but a creative to me is somebody who has the expertise to be able to be an original artist of something. And so for some people, that is, they are an original artist in writing. And for other people, that's an original artist in drawing or graphic design, or they can do it with interior design or architecture. It's just, they are the original artist. And so there's a lot of people who can look like they're creative, but that's because they copy what creatives do. So those people have creative taste, but they're not a creative. So that would be my attempt at, you know, defining a creative.
Can we dive a little deeper there with original artist? I'm having trouble separating what it looks like to take something a creative does and be creative with that. What does it mean to be the original artist in any of those mediums you mentioned?
Yeah. You're the one that's actually, you know, designing the logo. You have somebody comes to you with the problem to solve, and conceptually you have it inside of your head on how you're going to fix it and how you're going to solve it. You all of a sudden, the ideas start to come together and turn into something. They're also the person who's just, you know, they're the blank canvas person who's just, they're trying out colors, seeing what works, they know what doesn't work, and they move on and they fix and modify from there.
So as far as in agency world, what job titles represent these creatives, and then what job titles represent maybe secondary, and not in a negative type of way, but there's a difference between a creative director and a graphic designer. And you can also have a creative graphic designer who understands the vision the creative director is giving. But what are some of those job titles that you've seen or engaged with in your experience project managing?
Yeah, well, we'll definitely underline in my experience, because this is a bit like asking, is the dentist a real doctor? You know, so it's like, depends on who you're talking to. But I would say the your actual creatives at a creative agency is your graphic designer, your copywriter, and your creative director. Those are your primary creatives. I think that you have a lot of people that support creative work, like strategists, analysts, anyone else that's kind of a part of the process, whether they're, you know, support for it with, like, if you're doing film, like any of the producers or, you know, directors, editors, they're supporting creatives, but usually it's one of those people that is leading the main creative front.
And in your experience, is the executive leadership at an agency more creative in nature, or do they tend to be more binary? They focus more on the results that are being produced, or the numbers? The results is in what things look like, or the numbers is in, are we actually creating something that's sustainable? What does that look like?
Yeah, usually you're in any creative agency, somebody who was a part of the, like, original founding of the agency or nonprofit or whatever, they are the creative. Typically, they are also not the person that's best at supporting a business that can house creatives. So then they have somebody else that's your operations person. So you have your yin and yang that kind of work together to keep things moving and keep things together.
Love it. I ask all these questions. These are not in the questions I sent over to you at all. So we're totally kind of down this rabbit hole, but they're all things that I'm curious about on my own journey. So it's really helpful, and I appreciate you going down that rabbit hole with me. So the second part of this question we can move to was just speak to what it's like to be a project manager by title at an agency where you're working with the creative people and the people that are executing and getting things done.
Yeah. Being a project manager at a creative agency is a ton of fun because you're around the synergy and just the energy of creation. And so there's always a lot of things moving around, and that fast-paced environment that is organic and malleable and trying to create order out of all of that, for me personally, is really exciting. I like hearing the ideas and the visions and then trying to push them into systems that can help facilitate the creativity and not be an obstacle to the creativity, and can actually, you know, put people in positions to be able to create their best work. So it facilitates creativity in a lot of ways too.
Yeah, there's this map of reality that I kind of overlay with everything. And I find this rhythm, or I find this cycle in most places if I'm looking for it. And it's a cycle from order to disorder to reorder, or orientation, disorientation, reorientation. Another way I say it is life, death, and resurrection. Those, all of those words, I think, mean the same thing to me. And it sounds like the project manager is somebody who enters this story or this cycle whenever things are leaving order and entering into disorder or entering into disorientation. And your role is to guide, I want to say everybody, I don't know the right word here, to guide this journey back to a reorientation of sorts, where you enter the chaos and then come back out of the chaos back into a new order. Is that accurate to what you're describing?
Yeah, it's very accurate, because your job as a project manager is to see the project from sales to completion, or you know, origin to on the shelf ready for sale. So you're the one that is a common thread throughout that whole storyline of that creative journey. And the reality is that you and maybe the person who is like the main creative on the project are probably the only people that are going to be active on that project from beginning to end. And everyone else will sub in for certain roles that they might play to help supplement some services that may not be there, or just support the creative work, but they're not going to be there the whole time. So you are the expert on the whole process and on the project.
Does anybody know that process, or that client, or the needs of the client or the project better than the project manager?
Maybe an account manager. But okay. I think as far as the actual details of how to get the work done and what needs to be a part of it, I think the project manager is the expert.
Okay. How would you define project management? Or did we already just define it? That's totally fine if we did too.
No, I think just to provide further clarity on what project management is, I would say you're you know, managing a process that is somewhat has a system to it. So there's a framework or some kind of structure associated with, you know, most creative projects. However, the project manager, if you're, you know, really good at it, you modify and you adapt along the way to plug in certain processes or different systems in order to help facilitate the best process for this specific project. So not all creative projects follow the same exact process. 80% of the steps might be similar, but then there's always going to be a 10 to 20% that's going to be different for each project. And so a project manager, really, like, you're going to have to not just, you know, facilitate someone through a journey that might be similar to another project you've done, but it's also your job with the primary creative to figure out how, you know, to create a process that's specific and going to work for the project that you're on.
Yeah. And it seems as though, in my experience, that 20% that's different for each use case takes up 80% of effort, or 80% of mind space, right? So like the system's in place, you've got a system of 100%. You adjust 20% of it, and that takes up so much mind space and problem solving, and just all of the effort seems to go to just that 20% of the project that you can't just replicate for every client.
Right. But that 20% is like the secret sauce. So that's the thing that's going to make that project stand out from any other. So it's like, it's the heartbeat behind what you do is that 20%.
This is so good. I've not had these words to put behind the stress or the difficulty that comes with trying to create a system and implement that system. And so
in stress or in anxiety or in tough circumstances, it's like, I just want to do this system that we created. We did all the work, and it can get really frustrating trying to do that as well, instead of just embracing the fact that 20% of this project is going to be different and it needs to be different. Like, viewing it as the
exactly
is a very positive outlook, and it allows you to pour that energy into it instead of resisting that and trying to get back onto the initial system. I think that maybe, what would you say is the most important attribute of a project manager?
Flexibility.
But okay, so what makes you say flexibility is the most important attribute of a project manager?
Because the project is always going to go sideways. The timeline is always going to move and get adjusted and shifted. And most of those adjustments and shifts are out of a project manager's control. Very few of those timeline decisions that you set up at the beginning of a project of here's the most ideal process, the steps, the time associated with it, most of those are not inside of your realm of control. And so you can help facilitate and communicate, but you can't actually design. You can't actually print a book. You can't actually, you know, make this product. So there's a lot of things that are outside of your realm of control. And if you don't have flexibility, you're probably going to be pretty disappointed in this job.
Yes. Okay. So attributes 2 and 3, what else are you looking for? Thinking about as a project manager yourself, what did you value the most and bring to the table? Because you worked with some very big clients. Like, it's worth noting here that you weren't just project managing. I don't want to say it in a degrading way, because they're small agencies are doing great work, and they're facing the same obstacles. Yeah. There's a different weight maybe that you carry whenever a size of a project grows. Is that an okay way to say it?
Absolutely. So okay, with the scope of any project, you know, a project manager might be able to handle one project if the scope is gigantic. But if it's a lot of small projects, they might have 8 projects. And that saying, you know, well, I project manage 8 projects versus I project manage 1 project, it's not always equal.
Yeah, that makes sense. So yourself, as you went through this, and then if you were looking for somebody to be a project manager on your team, what are attributes 2 and 3 you'd look for?
Definitely have to be organized, and you have to be a self-starter. So if you are not an organized individual and able to outline steps and stay on top of those steps, it can be challenging, because typically most creatives are looking for you to bring that to the table. It's just kind of the lowest hanging fruit for a project manager. And then the other one is, the reason that you would need to be a self-starter then in project management is that so many of those details and, you know, the follow-up and all that's involved in queuing people to start work when it's supposed to start and stop work when it's supposed to stop, it's all on you. And there's nobody looking over your shoulder as the project manager. So you are the steward of the execution of it. And there's a lot of people depending on you to be, you know, the person who's, you know, so to speak, like the orchestra person, just sitting up there and just saying, you start now, give me this, I'm preparing for you to start this work next week, things like that.
Is there a tension between flexible and organized? How do you find somebody, or how do you identify somebody who's both of those things? Like, the top two attributes seem somewhat conflictual in nature.
Yeah. A lot of creative agencies, I would say, are looking for unicorns. And that's the difficult part, is they're rare. Because there are lots of different types of project management as well, where there is less flexibility, you know, is required. Like, you must be inflexible. So when you're in construction, there's no flexibility, you know, there. It's like you need to be really rigid in your processes. But when we talk about creative agencies or marketing agencies specifically, that level of flexibility matters because of the type of person that you're working for.
So in the last episode, we talked with Joe and Tim, and they mentioned they were both film school students, and they said something that really stuck with me as we look to hire in the future, is film students are like tucked away in their basement, learning every skill possible and doing everything on their own. What types of roles would an excellent project manager at an agency come out of?
Wow, that's a good question.
If you're searching for somebody for that role who doesn't know that that's the perfect role for them, where are they working today? I'm just rewording it in a different way to give you time to think.
That's the hard thing. I think that so much of project management skills are hardwired into a person that that person could be excelling in lots of different areas. And so you might be the best manager at a Starbucks and your project management skills are just off the charts because every single week you're planning resourcing for your shifts. You're staying on top of orders that need to be in and minimizing waste. Like, you could be the best project manager in that role. Yeah. You could also be the front desk, like receptionist at a doctor, and also be an incredible project manager. So I think so many of the skills that I think that people are looking for in project managers are, I don't think everyone possesses them. I just think they're hardwired into people's personalities.
So what I hear you saying is it's difficult to learn the skills needed to be an excellent project manager at a marketing agency.
Yeah. I mean, it's like teaching, how do you teach somebody flexibility when they're inflexible? Or how do you teach somebody to be organized when they're the most disorganized person in the world? It's like those are things that somebody usually naturally possesses. It's not that you can't learn them or set up systems. Certainly, you know, as a project manager, there's skills that I'm weaker in and some that I'm stronger in. And so I have to learn ways and to set up systems and structure around creating strength around my weaknesses. But there's some core pieces and components of it that, you know, if I have a shaky hand, I probably am just not destined to be a surgeon. It's just, it's the reality.
Why is project management important specifically for a marketing agency? Or if you could paint a picture of what an agency looks like without a project manager and what an agency looks like with a project manager, how much of a stark difference would there be in those two agencies?
Yeah, I think having somebody that manages the workflow is really important for any agency, but especially a creative agency and a marketing agency. And that's because in order to grow, you're just trying to grow sales. And that means that you really need to leverage the creative talent that you have on your bench to its fullest potential. And a project manager, that's their job every single day, is to say, can you spend 3 hours on this? And then I'm having you move over to this for the second half of your day. Whereas if an agency is operating without those, you're really relying on the, you know, the work ethic of all your employees to manage that aspect of it. And those details can get lost sometimes, especially when you get to complex scopes or processes. It's impossible to ask one creative that might be working on, you know, 8 different projects. They need to be pouring their energy into the creativity in it, not into being an expert on scope or contract or time.
Okay. Is it possible to run an agency without a good project manager or without a project manager? I mean, I'm answering it myself. It's impossible to have a project without somebody managing it. It's inherent that somebody is project managing, whether that's called a project manager or not, seems irrelevant. So I'm somewhat answering my own question there.
Well, freelancers are doing it all the time.
Okay.
So a freelancer is the creative and they're the project manager and they're the, you know, accountant, they're everybody. So freelancers are doing it all the time. It's just, but they want to work for themselves and do their own and manage their own work. And that's great. But then you have a lot of creatives who that is not what their desire is in, you know, in their professional career. So they are going to find themselves at an agency where somebody else is going to be managing those things for them.
Yes. This question is totally off topic, but it's something I've been thinking about. What advice would you give to an agency who feels squeezed between freelancers and a large agency? And as far as competing, they've got the overhead of an agency, they're paying staff, they've got space, equipment, but they are competing with rates of freelancers as far as who their client base is, and they can't compete with those freelancers. So what would you say to an agency in that position? If you don't have an answer, that's fine too.
Trying to think of an answer for this one. Will you repeat the question one more time?
Yeah. So what would you have to say to an agency who's kind of squeezed in between freelancers and a large agency? Freelancers are able to charge low prices because they don't have the overhead. They're making what the business makes. Large agencies have the overhead, but they have the talent and the experience to charge higher prices and go after higher paying clients. So there's this agency here in the middle who's competing with freelancers. They can't compete on price though, because they've got more overhead, and they can't go after the large clients because they don't have the experience or talent or quite the overhead. So staffing and financial investment, the capital to lose money for 5 years as they create an agency. Do you have any advice for an agency in that position?
Yeah, I sort of have the answers for both the freelancer and I have an answer for the agency. Okay. For the freelancer, I would say take the job from the agency because it's going to allow you to build your resume. You're going to get to work on projects and for clients that you would never get exposure to as a freelancer. For the agency, I would say employ the freelancer because economies of scale, you're paying somebody to do the creative work, and now you might just be able to pay somebody to oversee the creative work, and you're employing their creativity and you're being able to take it in-house and, you know, shop it out a little bit to different people in order to deliver a better product to your client at the end of the day. And so you can only staff so many types of creatives on your team as an agency. And so it's really identifying what value is this position bringing? And is this the value that we value enough to hold in-house? Or is this a value that we can add as a side offering to our clients? You know, they may say, I don't have enough projects a year to employ in a great, you know, illustrator. But when the client needs an illustrator, I have a freelancer that I can employ and supplement into this to make this so it's still an offering that I can bring to the table for this client.
Yep. Cool. That makes sense. Well, thanks for entertaining my side question. That's just helpful for me at the moment. Why does it seem, I've got two more questions. One of them was on our kind of list and one of them wasn't. Why does it seem difficult to project manage creatives? And maybe we've run through that one enough. So if you have more thoughts on it, do you have any more thoughts on that one?
Yeah. Okay. I think that project managers can find it difficult to manage project manage creatives because for their entire careers, we encourage creatives to find whatever it is that works for their creativity. Hmm. So even in formal education, it's all about like finding your creative space and finding out where are you most creative at and creating an environment to where your creativity just shines and where it grows and excels. And then in project management, we tend to honor the process over the creativity. And so we try and take these people who have, you know, been, you know, explorers and adventurers out on in this creative world. And then we try and push them into the system that sometimes doesn't work for them. And so I think that if there's ever competing forces in the creative process, that's where it is. And it's because we're taking these wild, you know, horses and we're saying, only do this. And that's not how they were trained. And that's not, you know, what's going to facilitate the best work either. So they're going to resist it.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm already finding so many applicable insights from you for our team. We'll all listen to this episode. Okay. So then the other question I had was, who is managing the project manager?
Sorry. Yeah, usually the director of product operations.
Okay.
Or a resource traffic manager or a COO. Maybe managing the project managers.
What types of things are the project managers bringing back to that person and sharing with them so that person can make their decisions that they need to make on a daily basis? And I think we're kind of transitioning here. Tell me if I'm right or wrong into something you're becoming more familiar with in your new role. So maybe start by saying what your new role is and then answer this question of what types of information you're looking for from your project managers that are working with internal projects and working with clients and people inside to get stuff done.
Yeah. In this specific role, my job is to set up the most ideal process and resource the most ideal process. And then I hand that process over to a project manager to facilitate. So I'm going to create a plan that works for the agency at a 30,000 foot level. But at the end of the day, I'm just in the air traffic control tower. And that's all I've been able to do. And a project manager is really piloting, and I say like quarterback, they're the ones on the field, you know, actually executing it. And so I'm handing them the plan and I'm giving their parameters for freedom inside of that plan, whether that be deadlines or meetings, they can happen inside of this range. If it happens outside of this range, you probably need to come back to me because I'm making decisions for other projects and how I'm resourcing those projects with people's time along the way based on this plan. So when this one changes, it might change two or three other projects, and now I need to go back into those other projects and change them. So from my perspective, what I'm trying to do is set up the most ideal process and then hand that to somebody who might then, you know, manage it and then let me know if there's any issues with it. So what I'm looking for from a project manager is, you know, the trains are running on time is really what I'm looking for from them.
Yes.
To keep it short.
That makes total sense. And then, so circling back to one of our earlier conversations or something you were saying earlier is this secret sauce is like the 20% that is unaccounted for, but it doesn't mean that there's not a system in place or a process in place. How do you create, how do you account for that as you're thinking through a system or process? Do you have things set in stone that you're like, this one can't be a part of that 20% that moves, or are you like, here, this is the part of the system where you account for some of that even before you get into it, knowing that it's going to be a little more fluid, but as far as this and this, there's like no room for a movement or fluid, like this is the process right there. What does that look like?
That's a good question, because as a project manager, like when you're setting things up, you really are kind of in the custom home building world. Mm-hmm. Where there is a process to building a house. We all know, you know, the different processes involved in that. And I would say when I'm setting something up and I'm trying to identify what the 20% is, I'm saying that in any project's life cycle, it's probably going to involve these four steps. But now it's then going to the creatives and asking them how the work is actually going to happen, and learning how to uncover that with creatives is really an aspect that I think project managers should really strive to be good at. It's always my goal to just meet with a creative and understand what excites them and understand their process enough so that then I can translate what they're saying to me back to a process that says, all right, after having talked with this creative director, I understand now that this part of the process, even though it typically only takes this long, is now actually going to take this long. But that's okay, because the step after it is now going to be a lot shorter because they spend more time up here. And so there's certain steps and milestones along the way, but then some of those grow into more than what they, you know, are on a different project that you might look at.
What is your job title now?
Director of Product Operations.
Director of Product Operations. What are you most excited about in this, like the next 2 years, the next year, of entering this new, it's the next step, I think, from a project manager, right? If you're a project manager and you're wanting to move any sort of non-lateral or downward movement, this would be a next step in that direction. What are you most excited about upcoming?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely excited to grow a team of people. I really love just equipping people and challenging people to be the best at who they are. And so I'm really excited to have like a team of project managers that I can support and encourage and help complete their work and be really, really happy at what they're doing. I think the personal side of what I'm excited about is to see how much more work that we can do, because my mind, really, the way that I'm wired, is more at the 30,000 foot view. I don't usually worry about details. I worry about them when I need to worry about them. But that, if I'm, you know, evaluating my own personal skills, I would say that it, the fine details are the things that I have to create systems around in order to support that area that I'm not super strong in all the time. Because my mind naturally gravitates more towards the creative visionary, where it'll happen. I just trust the process, you know. Even if it's at the 12th hour, that if, you know, if that's when the iron's hot, let's strike it then. And I don't stress and worry about those things. So my typical view is at that level anyway. And so I'm just excited to like pull in a lot of different projects and resource them, and having that relationship, whether it be with the creative internally or the external contractor outside the agency, it's fun being able to pitch a new project to somebody and have them be excited about it, and me reciprocate that with them and say, I thought of you when I saw this project and I think you'd be a great fit, and then see the end product. That's just really rewarding.
Yeah, that's incredible. And the relationship between sales and project management. I don't know if there's a direct line there. Sales goes out and says, we can do this. And they close the deal. Is project management involved on that front end before a contract signed to actually make sure that it can be done? Or is it sales coming in and say, hey, we just sold this, we've got to make it happen, and then you figure it out? What does that look like?
I've seen it happen both ways, to be honest. The most ideal process is definitely when somebody's out there in business development and selling new deals is, yes, it's their job to say, can we do this? And they should be experts in that, but they're not always experts in when can we do this? And so that's the other component of any sale or any proposal is, when is it able to happen? And that's where you need to involve project management. I've worked in agencies where it doesn't happen that way, and they just hand you the signed contract and with an arbitrary, when can we do this by, and they've already communicated that to the client, in which case that's where I say to the agency, have a big, robust list of freelancers that you can sub in on projects like that. Most agencies will probably, if they're, you know, their business development person will probably have an idea for how many types of scopes they can sell over, you know, a certain quarter or in this month. That isn't going to overwhelm their team. But there are nuances to projects that might have gone sideways or may have stalled out. And that level of information for sales to have is pretty important. And if the project management, you know, department is not communicating those valuable pieces of intel up to the sales team of this project stalled or this one's on hold, then you can sometimes have a pileup of projects that are all starting at the same time, or one is starting when one is restarting. And then you are resourcing those projects, or you typically would be resourcing them with the same people.
Yep, that makes sense. What is it like to be a full remote director of product operations?
So far, it's been really great. And that's because the role is fully internal facing. So I'm working with our team all the time throughout the day. And I primarily am working in our project management platform, looking at proposals, looking at scopes, building those. So the remote culture for that role really does work pretty well. And then I can touch base with people as need be. Professionally, I've honestly loved it. I really enjoy working from home, or having the flexibility to go work at this coffee shop or go to a brewery in the afternoon and work from there. It allows me to kind of set up my, you know, my work environment like I want it to be. And I jokingly always said this, but I'm glad that it's still true, that if I was ever doing a job where I couldn't take it with me in my backpack, then it was the wrong job for me. And still to this day, it's true. So it's going
great. That's awesome. Love it. There's got to be an episode upcoming on the podcast here where we talk about remote teams just in general, because I think it's becoming more common. So yeah, if that could be a kind of a group podcast. I may pull you in, just ask you a couple questions and pair it with others who are also working on remote teams and kind of learn from people who are working on full remote teams. Is full remote the term now? Is that like a common?
Yeah, I don't know. I call it that. You can take it.
It communicates what it needs to.
Ox, I'd be more than glad to, because I actually think Ox does it really, really well, because they have several people that are fully remote, and they do the culture that they've set around that, even when, which I guess you don't need to bring me on just to tell you this, but like, for how do you have meetings when you have people that are remote with people that are physically in the room, and like everybody calls it on their own computer. And it's just, it's things like that where even though I'm still in the same office space as you, we all still dial in together, that creates a really warm, full remote work environment.
Yep.
That and it gives sense. The people who could have availability to sit at that table the permission to not be there if they don't want to be. So the person who could come to the office, but because of full remote have decided to work home today, it creates permission for that to happen, because you know that you're still participating in meetings in that way. So, and they have a couple other things too, but that's definitely one of them. I'm like, you guys do this really well. And I appreciate it as somebody who's in Atlanta working for a company that, you know, is in Chicago. It's great.
Yep. Well, it sounds like you're working with some really thoughtful people. And just from knowing you, I think they made a great pickup with Cody Goshert, and they're going to value your contribution, and their clients are going to value your contribution. So, Cody Goshert, Why is marketing important?
Marketing to me is important because it's a story that you tell people about yourself. And if you don't have a good story to tell, then you're not marketing yourself well. That's why I think marketing.
Personally and as a brand, it sounds like too. I like that you're using yourself.
Especially as a brand.
Yeah.
Cool. If you're not marketing yourself well as a brand, you're doing yourself a disservice because you're not telling the world how you can help them. And you should be doing that.
Yeah. For the good of others. I always see marketing as such a great tool to impact others positively, to make people's lives better. If you have something that can make people's lives better,
don't keep it all to yourself. Tell them.
Yeah. What a selfish thing. Cool. Mm-hmm. Gosh, Cody, thank you so much for your time. If somebody wanted to connect with you, ask you questions about project management, or get coffee with you, buy you a beer, how would you have somebody do that?
Cody@oxcreates.com. Shoot me an email.
Love it. Do you have anything else you want to share with people? So I've spoken with somebody who's like, yeah, they have a lead magnet or something. And I don't know, this is just an opportunity for you to be like, yeah, you know, find out my 10. Anyways,
I'd rather just get a beer with somebody than lead magnet them to something for me.
We've got to get,
you can buy my beer.
There you go. Buy Cody a beer.
Yeah. Buy Cody a beer.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for being on the podcast, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for sharing what you've learned with us. It's given me something to think about for sure, leaving. So I'm glad we've got it recorded.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Uplink Marketing Podcast. Don't forget, we have a free marketing assessment available on our website right now, uplinkmarketing.com/free. You don't even need to give us your email address. Just click download and discover if you have any marketing gaps to fill.